Joshua's challenge in the first reading there, choose today whom you wish to serve, false gods or the one true God, came actually after a long speech in which he outlined in some detail all that God had done for them, building up a great case, if you like, including their triumphal entry into the promised land where they are now when he's speaking to them. And the people answered sort of, are you mad? It's a no-brainer. We will serve the Lord, for he is our God. And it's sort of a response which has echoes of a footballer, you know, kissing the badge on his shirt as a symbol of undying loyalty to the club and the fans. That is, of course, until a better offer comes along. And as you know, the Israelites were forever changing sides, so to speak. In the history of the eternal covenant that God has made with his people, this is a real turning point. The people are free, as we heard, to return to the gods they worshipped in Egypt or to adapt to the pagan gods of the Amorites, among whom, of course, they will now settle in the promised land. It's a tricky one because to remain faithful to the God of Israel is to live by different values and customs from the neighbours. And that nearly always causes problems, as we know only too well from what's happening in Afghanistan right now. There, you know, we have moderate Muslims who have adapted to modern living with education for girls, being able to listen to music, and women allowed to work, are now faced with the terrifying prospect of having to live under strict Sharia law, which includes, as you know, hand amputation for stealing and stoning to death for adultery. It's interesting that the law doesn't seem to apply to the Taliban themselves, who commit adultery by stealing other men's wives and kill without mercy those whom they judge not to be one of them or be on message. Another major turning point in life for many people, of course, is the commitment to marriage, which we heard about in the second reading. The way St. Paul puts it is that the union of man and wife is so holy a mystery that it symbolizes the marriage of Christ and his church. And that's the model that's put before every engaged couple as they prepare to make their lifelong commitment to their partner. Husband and wife must think less of themselves as individuals and more of each other as a couple. And recently in the parish, we've been blessed. We've seen wonderful examples of this commitment in the celebration of three long-lasting wedding anniversaries of many years standing, a sign of great faithfulness. In the gospel, of course, there is another major turning point, this time for the followers of Jesus. Now, these are not the Jews who were hostile to Jesus and always gave him a hard time. They're actually his disciples. 5,000 of them, over 5,000 of whom had followed him into this lonely place. And now they are asked to choose. Will they then turn away and join the ranks of the unbelievers, or will they give themselves freely and without reservation to Christ? As we see, most find what Jesus is proposing intolerable and do walk away. So, when the whole world is against you, what do you do? Normally, you turn to your family, your closest friends, those who'll stick by you. But in this case, I wonder, as Jesus turned to the apostles, if he had a premonition of how they would all abandon him at the crucifixion when all but one of them ran away. And you can almost feel it in his voice, you know, as he says to them, what about you? Do you want to go too? Everything Jesus has worked for hangs on their response to his question. So imagine the relief and the sheer joy of hearing, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. So in the face of near total rejection from the huge crowd, this is actually a phenomenal act of faith, because at this stage, they have only had a glimpse that Jesus has the message of eternal life. They know nothing of the resurrection, and they have no idea what he means when he says, what if you should see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? And yet that glimpse is enough for them to commit their lives to him. What about you? Is a question that Christ asks of all his disciples in a world which largely rejects the gospel. Like Joshua, he always leaves us free to go if we want to, and many have gone. And it's understandable that people find it easier to blend in with what's trending on social media than keep to what the church teaches. On there, anonymously, you can like or dislike without committing to anything. Just don't speak up for what you truly believe in if the thought police are telling you something different. But that's not the Christian way. Our priority is always to speak up for justice, peace, and mercy. These are the words of eternal life that Jesus has asked us to proclaim. And we must stay faithful to them because we know he is the Holy One of God.